A veš, Juri, takrat v Grčiji, enkrat tem pred našim štetjem, je Sokrat enkrat prišel nak gor na Agoro filozofirat.
Ja, ja, ker mu je baba skrilo obleko, znana štorja.
Ma pusti babo, tip je bil karakter, takrat je bilo glavno, da je debatiral.
Se v današnjih parlamentih tudi dosti debatirajo.
Aha, nagi. Projekt Virtualna Agora, sodobni virtualni forum za mlade, podpira Evropski parlament. Partnerji projekta so Zavod za sodobne umetnosti Axioma, Radio Marš in Radio Študent.
Ubij me, ni treba, da je nežno. Leta 1973 je kinodvorane basov film Richarda Fleischerja, ki se je ko tata na mamu ukomponiral v pričakovanje orveljanskega leta 1984 in posledično zauzel mesto med cineastičnimi kulti. Soylent Green je bilo naslov filma s Charltonom Hestonom v glavni vlogi. Promocijo eutanazije prikaže skozi zagato prenaseljenosti in nezadostnosti prehranevalnega sektorja za zadostitev tekočih potreb, ki ravno zaradi tega zapade pod pristojnost vojske. Film se dogaja v letu 2002, New York šteje 40 milijonov glav in oblasti se regulacije lotijo pragmatično. Starejše, problematične, razmišljajoče in lačne bolj ali manj nevede trpajo v nekakšne wellness centre, kjer jih ob slikovnem projeciranju sveta, kakršen je nekdaj bil, toliko humanosti pa če zmorejo, pospremijo na drugi svet. V realnem svetu letu 2006 eutanazija ni predmet populacijske politike, kljub temu, da se misel ob aktualnih zapletih okolo rodnostne strategije ministra Drobniča ponuja samo od sebe, ampak je to stvar etike in morale, filozofije in religije, medicine, prava in pa seveda predvsem kolizije pravice do individualne svobode na eni in dogmatiziranih direktiv o nedotakljivosti življenja na drugi strani. V okviru projekta Virtualna Agora, čigar programski sklop obsega tudi razmislek o eutanaziji, nocoj na RŠ-u objavljamo intervju s predsednikom v Švici delujočega gibanja Dignitas, Ludvikom Minelijem. Pragmatizem ali pa luknje v švicarski zakonodaji namreč botrujejo nominalizaciji Ciriha kot svetovne prestolnice neusiljenih samomorov, namenjenih redukciji trpljenja in ohranitvi dostojanstva neozdravljivo bolnih, s čimer se organizacija Dignitas namreč ukvarja. V ozadju poslušamo šesto Beethovnovo simfonijo, ki so jo nacisti že pred drugo svetovno vojno uporabili v propagandnem filmu Der Führer schenkt den Juden eine Stadt, ki je getoizacijo judov prikazoval kot generiranje zadovoljnih, homogenih, tako rekoč slovenskih skupnosti. Ludvik Minelij, Dignitas, Zürich.
My first question would be what was historical tendencies against death, against euthanasia in history? Was it always like this? Was it always a subject of? Was it always a legal subject?
Unfortunately, I can't tell you an answer to this question, but we know that Switzerland has had a very liberal situation in the years 1830 to 1890, because in this time nearly all Swiss cantons changed to a liberal system, and in 1848 the Swiss government was composed only by liberal democrats, and therefore we had a very liberal time in the second part of the 19th century, where all the major laws have been made or prepared. And one of the law which has been prepared very late has been a Swiss criminal code. The Swiss government has made a proposal in 1918 in order to replace the cantonal criminal codes. But these cantonal criminal codes have been in force until the end of 1941, but on 1st of January 1942, the Swiss Criminal Court entered in force, and there was this Article 115, which has been proposed by the federal government years before, which says, if somebody in a selfish, from a selfish motive, is abetting and helping to a suicide, will be punished up to 5 years of heavy prison. And that means that if somebody is helping to suicide without selfish motives, this is a legal act.
And it is still in order.
It's still in yes, it's still in force. This hasn't been changed, and there is absolutely no other law saying something about euthanasia or assisted suicide. And the Swiss federal government has told the public recently that they see no reason why something should be changed. And so we can hope that this liberal system will last for another for some other destinies at least. And on the other hand, we at Dignitas are persuaded that Article 8 of the European Convention on Human Rights, which says that the states have to respect private life, does also enshrine the right or the freedom of a person to end their own life by themselves. And just this question is now here in Switzerland pending in a case at the Supreme Court of Switzerland. And we think that the judgment of the court will be rendered within the next 3 or 4 months.
So it's a thing of Swiss political pragmatism, basically.
Well, you may call it this way, but you know, to acknowledge that a human being should have the possibility to make to decide freely whether the person wants to live on or will end their life is very essential to us.
Is there basically, the most that I know about Swiss decision-making process is that you have a lot of referendums. The Criminal Act wasn't subjected to any referendums.
Yes, it has been, because the Parliament has taken 20 years to discuss about the proposal of the government from 1918 to 1938. And after that, there has been a referendum, and the criminal code has been accepted by the Swiss voters, and therefore it could enter in force at the beginning of 1942.
That's most interesting. Let me go back now to, you already mentioned the European Union's Human Rights Act.
Not Union, the European Convention on Human Rights. There Slovenia is also a contracting party.
Absolutely. the question in euthanasia is always two rights, basic rights, are colliding. The right to an individual having a control over his own life, and the other one, which is basically a Christian, thou shalt not kill.
Well, you know, if somebody is making a suicide, this Christian idea has nothing to say, because to end one's own life, this is not a crime, and it's not illegal, because it is an act of freedom of a human being which has been given consciousness and therefore has this ability which animal doesn't have. And I think everything what nature has given to human beings is legal.
What about Japanese ritual suicides, seppuku?
Well, this is something else, yeah, because this is a question of culture. If in ancient Japan somebody has lost his face, he could make harakiri. It's about the same thing as in former decennies in Europe. If somebody has made bankruptcy, he shooted himself in order to save his honor, at least. But these are old ideas. Now we should see that even the European Court on Human Rights has acknowledged that due to the sophisticated results of modern medicine and a prolonging of life expectancy, a lot of people are asking whether they can be forced to linger on in a situation which they can't afford with their ideas on their own identity. And the court has also acknowledged that the notion of quality of life has a major role if you have to interpret the Article 8 of the Convention, saying that you have to respect private life. And I think that within some years we will have even a European judgment of this court saying exactly what I'm thinking just now.
Yes, but a lot of opposition is to be expected, probably.
Well, you know, the opposition is coming from the churches, but churches and religions never have been very clever and very ready to accept freedom of decision of human beings. They like to govern these people. They like to make their own rules in order to secure their power, and therefore I don't think that we should have in mind what religions are saying. This doesn't count anymore.
Plus, in addition, church has to debate on multiple fronts. When was Dignitas founded? How many people did it help
well,
till
Dignitas
now?
Dignitas has been founded on May 17th, 1998, and we have now about 6,300 members, the majority not Swiss members, but members in more than 50 countries of this globe.
50 countries, that's a lot. What does the process or your working process look like? Could you describe it for us?
Well, if somebody wants to approach an assisted suicide and he has become member of Dignitas, then he does send us an application telling us what are the reasons for this idea, and the person does also send us medical documents in order to tell us what are the diagnosis, what have been the therapies, and we also ask for short report telling us something about the life of this person, their families, and so on, in order to give us an impression of the personality which is asking us. And then we send this application to a Swiss physician, and we ask the physician whether he would be ready to write a prescription for this person after having seen the person and spoken to the person. And if the physician tells us yes, he's ready, we do communicate to this person that she has now the provisional green light. And 70% of all people having got this provisional green light do never call again. They are happy to know that they would have this possibility in case they would have difficulties with their lives, but do never call again. And the rest of 30% does call again between 3 and 1800 days first time after the green light. And only a little minority finally will come to Switzerland in order to have here an assisted suicide.
And the one objective is that the families or the close ones of your members have to agree with...
They do not have to agree, but we do say to our members, you should speak early about your idea with your family, your friends. You should give them the opportunity to make opposition. You should give them the opportunity to get acquainted with the idea, and finally to come with you and to be with you at your last minutes, because we know that people who have been present will have less problems after the death of a beloved person. And in most cases, this is working very well. And mostly, relatives and friends do accept the idea. Perhaps sometimes they say yes, but I think it's too early. You could also still wait some weeks or months. But for us, it's decisive what our member has in mind, and not what other people do think or say.
Is there maybe a cross profile of your members? I'm interested in that. Are they mostly men, older, rich, socially quite well suited or not?
Well, we have no studies on this item, but we know from the annual reports of the state of Oregon in the United States of America that mostly persons with a higher education do choose such an opportunity. And we know also that just a little minority only is choosing this opportunity. There is existing a study from the Institute for Legal Medicine at the University of Zurich. They have had a look at 748 assisted suicides of the other Swiss organization, Exit, German-speaking part of Switzerland, in the years 1990 to 2000. And they have found that if in this period, in these 11 years, in the canton of Zurich, one of the member states of Swiss Confederation, 100,000 persons would have died from heart, circulation or breathing illnesses, just 67 out of 100,000 would have chosen the way with an assisted suicide. This means 0.067 per mil. This has been the lowest rate. The highest rate have been 4.5%, 45 of 1,000 persons which would have died from multiple sclerosis. So the question rises only within a little minority.
What are the technical aspects of you assisting people to die dignifying?
Well, I wouldn't say technical aspects, but precondition is that the person which wants to have an assisted suicide first must have capacity of discernment and capacity to express themselves. A person should at least be able to say or to give a signal of yes and no, so that we can put questions to the person and to have answers. Second, the person must have at least some possibility of physical performance
ability.
The person must, because if we are speaking of suicide, that means always that the person which wants to die must do in their life the last act themselves, and therefore somebody must be able to bite, for instance, on something in order to make a machine working, or must be able to swallow, or must be able to give the medicament through a stomach tube in the own stomach, and so on. These are the preconditions. And normally it's that the person will take just a glass of about something more than half a deciliter of water, normal water, and in this liquid we have 15 grams of a barbituric, and after 2 to 5 minutes the person will fall asleep, and within some more minutes, up to several hours, the person will die. But after she has fallen asleep, she will fall into a deep coma, and there is no more any consciousness.
Are the family members, or is anyone present?
Of course,
at the times.
Yeah. We asked the family members and the friends to be present and to wait until the person has died, and after that we have to call the police, because every suicide is an extraordinary death case, and then police and prosecutor and legal medicine officer are coming in order to make an investigation whether there has been a suicide or whether there has been a crime. And this investigation always is ending by the statement it has been a suicide.
So, and the family members, what are their reactions? Do they feel unburdened, or do they get a feeling of bad consciousness? What are your experiences?
This is quite different, because if a family member sees how difficult life has become for a beloved member of the family, there are two feelings. Of course, there is sadness because we have lost somebody, a beloved person. On the other hand, the person knows that it has been a very good end for this beloved person, because the pains of the illness have been stopped by this, and this is what this person has wanted. I often have members coming to my house where I speak to them in my living room, and they are embracing me, and they tell me, finally I am at your house, and I nearly cannot wait until I will have finally my peace.
How many members of Dignitas have been put to sleep by now?
Well, I can't tell you an actual number, but it will be, I think, at about 550 within 8.5 years. Many more members by national deaths, because as we are comforting them with the provisional green light, they have the possibility to live on despite their pain, knowing that the exit, the emergency exit, is wide open, and then they can die naturally.
O življenju v njegovi najčistejši obliki z Ludvigom Minelijem, predsednikom švicarskega gibanja Dignitas, ki neozdravljivim in njihovim bližnjim ponuja odgovore ter praktične rešitve na dileme, ki begajo celotno družbo, sem se pogovarjal lan. Hvala Davidu na reglerih, pa mirno spite.
A veš, Juri, takrat v Grčiji, enkrat tem pred našim štetjem, je Sokrat enkrat prišel nak gor na Agoro filozofirat.
Ja, ja, ker mu je baba skrila obleko, znana štorja.
Ma pusti babo. Tip je bil karakter, takrat je bilo glavno, da je debatiral.
Se v današnjih parlamentih tudi dosti debatirajo.
Aha, nagi. Projekt Virtualna Agora, sodobni virtualni forum za mlade, podpira Evropski parlament. Partneri projekta so Zavod za sodobne umetnosti Axioma, Radio Marš in Radio Študent.